This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is Lighthouse Faith Podcast, moving forward in truth and love. I'm Lauren Green, Chief Religion Correspondent for Fox News Channel and author of the book Lighthouse Faith. Well, the incredibly successful producers of the television series The Bible are releasing a new movie on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's simply called Resurrection, and it launches March 27th on Discovery Plus. Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, two of Hollywood's most prolific producers, have taken on what is the cornerstone of Christianity, Jesus rising from the dead, and how his followers go from despair and danger to joy and triumph. And Roma Downey joins me now. Welcome, Roma.
Thank you so much, Lauren. It's lovely to be on with you.
Well, it's lovely to have you, especially on St. Patrick's Day. I couldn't have a better Irish woman on St. Patrick's Day that we're recording this podcast.
Oh, I know. I do love St. Patrick's Day. And I've been on the phone already with my family back home in Ireland this morning. And I am sitting here wearing my green. I know that you are also.
Wearing green.
Yes, I know. I know. My husband was asking me today. He said, "Is it just in America that you know that we're crazy and we dye the rivers green and eat green bagels and things?" And I said, "Well, it is a bit more extreme in America, but we did celebrate it as children too. You know, we would have always had at least a green ribbon in our hair going to school, or of course we wore our shamrocks on our lapel,
yes.
And you know, and the shamrock." Is a lovely symbol, and St. Patrick apparently used it to describe to the new followers of Jesus what the Trinity was. He used the shamrock to describe how it was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one entity, as the shamrock has three leaves on one plant, you know.
Oh, that is so powerful. That is so wonderful.
It is. I mean, I think it's all become beer and leprechauns, but,
yeah.
But the true message was, you know, because he brought the faith to Ireland and he drove out the snakes, and the snakes apparently was the old religion. You know, it's also the symbolism, the metaphor of the old religion, which was the Druid faith, and they used the snake symbol on their arms, on jewelry, and on tattoos. And when Patrick came and brought Christianity, he drove out the snakes, you know. And so, you know, there's also no snakes in Ireland, but I think that's probably more to do with the fact that it rains so much.
Well, that's sort of like how, you know, the idea of Easter has become, and as I've become more of a doctrinally kind of aware of
chocolate
of Easter.
Easter bunny.
Yeah, chocolate Easter, Easter bunnies, and jelly beans, and, you know, everything about bunnies and flowers and
that's right.
I wonder, it's like there's nothing about the resurrection. There's nothing about the resurrection really in the Easter celebrations that you see in marketing campaigns, like for, you know, William Sonoma and Pottery Barn and all of those places. Everything is about Easter's bunnies and flowers, but nothing about the resurrection. Isn't that odd?
I know. It's sad. It's sad, really, you know, but I mean, here's one of the joys, therefore, of having an Easter movie, the resurrection movie, available on television this Easter, where families can gather together. And, you know, while we do all love a chocolate egg, myself included,
yes,
it's an opportunity to sit with your kids around the television in the comfort and safety of your own home and watch this, you know, watch this film and maybe create an annual family tradition together. You know, as a child growing up in Ireland, I have very fond memories of Easter holiday coming and sitting down with my mum and my dad and my siblings and watching, you know, back in the day, it would have been I don't know, the Ten Commandments or
yes.
Or the greatest story ever told.
The Ten Commandments is actually a Passover film. It's not an Easter film. It's actually that's Ben-Hur right. is an Easter film, actually.
When yes,
you actually
that's
consider
right.
the difference.
That's
but you still love it. I mean, it still has value.
We just loved it. And it was just that time of year for more sort of spiritual reflection, I suppose.
Right, right.
You know, and it is, as you mentioned, it is the cornerstone of, you know, of our faith. I mean, you could remove the Christmas story, the nativity from the New Testament, and the New Testament would still hold up. But if you remove right. the Easter story and the resurrection from the New Testament, you know, it would be a completely different experience, to say the
and
least.
Absolutely, and I think that's probably why there's this secularized version of the resurrection, of at least of Easter, because if the resurrection is true, it changes everything. And I think
it's
that's why
it was a game changer. Yeah, it was a game changer for all of us. And anyway, we had felt strongly in the year that we've all just come through, which has been so challenging. This pandemic just seems to be going on, and we're all. You know, it's as if we're all in a tomb. We've all been isolated, yeah. disconnected from our families, disconnected from people that we love and care about, kids not in school. And, you know, our office has been closed for a year now.
Wow.
And, you know, I feel that we're all ready to come out of the tomb and have
yes.
a kind of personal resurrection as well. You know, it's just, but we certainly, I think, are hungrier than ever for stories of hope. Stories
yes.
that connect us and remind us that we belong to each other. And that was really the intention that Mark and I held in our hearts to move forward to try to get this film ready for this particular Easter. It became apparent around Christmas that our hope to put it in a theater mm-hmm. would not be possible. You know, it's not safe and many theaters are
right.
still not open and back in business. And so we had an option, of course, at that point, would we just hold on to the film and perhaps give it a theatrical release next Easter? But
mm-hmm.
I think we all felt, ourselves and our team, that there's such a hunger for hope in our communities,
yes.
you know, and such a need for it now more than ever. So we took it out to find a good home for it. We talked to quite a few of the streaming platforms,
mm-hmm.
and we were very grateful for the partnership of Discovery Plus, which is quite a new platform.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
we thought it was ideal because the content on Discovery Plus is very family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you come in there to see Resurrection and you have your family with you, you'll have lots of other shows in there that you'll be interested in seeing and that are, you know, that are appropriate for your family.
Yes.
And we just thought that was important if we were going to be asking people to sign up to subscribe. It's not that expensive, by the way, but it's
right.
a good value because there's lots of great stuff on there. But and so the movie comes out on Holy Week. And then we'll be, you know, it'll be on the platform for ages and it'll be something
mm-hmm.
that people can gather and watch over Easter.
You know, it's, I saw the film. It's really wonderful. It really is. But it has taken that bit of time between the burial and this sort of transformation of the disciples, which
yes.
is a lot of movies kind of skip over that. We just sort of do, okay, he rose and that's nice and that's the end of the movie. And it's sort of, you know, that's sort of your.
Yeah, you
know,
usually that's
the
end of the movie. Usually that
right.
kind of is the end. We started the movie, you know, we have made another movie a few years ago called Son of God.
Yes.
And it
yes.
really dealt with the ministry of Jesus. And then, you know, it took us right through the trial. The arrest and the trial and the murder of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
And so this film really it picks up the story at the crucifixion. It opens at the crucifixion, and
yeah.
and then we follow the disciples who clearly have scattered, probably out of fear. One would imagine. I mean, we know from Scripture that Peter was spotted in the crowds.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you're with him. You're one of his followers, and out of fear for being, you know, taken and possibly killed himself, he denies Jesus as Jesus said he would three times,
yes.
And so our movie opens with Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and John the beloved, at home, they're exhausted. They've just come from the burial of Jesus. They're depleted. They're grieving. And into that room comes Peter. And they say, Peter, where were you? And Peter arrives, I'm sure, with a certain amount of shame or guilt wasn't around, you know. And so slowly we see all of the disciples start gathering again. And they're confused and they're, you know, they're a bit lost. And their fear, I think, is very present with them. And they don't know what to do. And they think maybe they should leave. You know, maybe they should get out of Jerusalem. If they're killed Jesus, maybe they'll be coming for them next. And it's Mary, the mother of Jesus, who comes in and says to him, he's promised that he'd be back in 3 days. She's like unwavering in her belief. Yes. Can you not just wait 3 days? And yeah. So we see them decide to wait. And of course, you know, Jesus will rise and does rise. And in what I think is a really one of my favorite scenes, we see, you know, we have the temple authorities who are approaching Passover and very nervous that all this Jesus business will create trouble in the city, you know, and they've tried to, we've seen them, they tried Jesus quickly. They tried to get it all over and done with quickly. And once Joseph of Arimathea has offered his tomb, they're now nervous that the prophecy, a rich man's tomb, that the disciples may come and try to steal the body of Jesus and pretend that the prophecy has been fulfilled, that he's risen. So they decide that they'll get Pontius Pilate to agree to send the Roman guard to the tomb for the 3 days, just to keep an eye on the tomb, to put the Roman seal on the stone at the tomb to make sure nobody's getting out of that tomb or getting into that tomb. And in a marvelous scene, we see the guards up there at night, and we see this sort of supernatural.
That is so cool, I have to tell you, it was so cool to see that.
I know, it's like it's a moment where you just want to get up and cheer, right? In your chair.
Yes, it's like, it's kind of an Avengers moment, too.
It really is. Then this beautiful African angel comes down with his sort of well-worn armor. And you know that he's, you know, fought a good battle or two for the side of good. And he stands larger than life on top of the tomb. Now, the Roman soldiers, by this point, their chins are bouncing off the floor. They don't know what they're looking at. They have no idea. And then from behind the stone, Lauren, didn't you love that? The light starts to glow.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do.
Because Jesus has already risen behind the stone. Yeah. And then the angel, with ease, just pushes that stone aside. And
you know, you get the feeling when I saw the angel of the Lord, it's like this is exactly what Joshua must have seen when he looked over on Jericho and he looks up and sees this angel of the Lord and says, are you on the Lord's side or our side? He says, I am. Yes. It's like, oh my goodness, this is different.
Yes, I know. We had, you know, we sat around, we had lots of conversations, of course, with the costume designers and, you know, and our directors and, you know, what are our angels going to look like? And, you know, I've been in the angel business for a long time.
Yes, you have been, yes.
From my Touched by an Angel
Touched
days.
Touched by an Angel, yes. If there's anybody who knows angels, it's you.
Well, you know, I had such a wonderful decade on that show with my beloved Della Reese. And as believers, we were thrilled to be messengers and deliver the message of God's love every week. The message was always the same, you know, it's that there is a God, that he loves you and he wants to be part of your life. And, you know, I've really taken that theme and sort of embedded it really in all of my work, because resurrection is also a love story, you know, because He died for us because he loved us, and he rose for us because he loved us, you know. And so, but we decided that for resurrection, that, you know, and the nature of this film and the grittiness and the kind of authentic ancient world we were trying to create, that, you know, and remembering that throughout the Bible, oftentimes when angels appear, the first thing, you know, they're saying is fear not. And, you know, and so assuming therefore there's something about their appearance that could be threatening or frightening to humans. So we settled on this kind of, ancient warrior feel. And yeah. I think it works very well, because Absolutely. That's we read our Bibles. We hear, the lessons in church and we're familiar with the stories, but I think, it's a particular challenge as filmmakers to bring the stories to life visually. Mm-hmm. And of course everybody has an opinion that, oh, I thought he would look this way or that way, or, sure. Why is she wearing this or that? At some point we just have to make choices, and we pray our way through everything, hoping that we'll make good choices. And we take advice, particularly on scripts and scripture, yeah. To make sure that we're accurate and so on. But one of the kind of fun elements that we're able to introduce are these special effects, working with great teams, experts right. to be able to do that. And so the arrival of the angel is supernatural and it looks epic. And I think the other scene that really lends itself to the special effects was the scene in Pentecost. Didn't you love that?
Yes. Oh my, the fire coming yeah. down and the tongues of fire. Oh, that was just beautiful. We have to take a break right now on Lighthouse Faith Podcast. We're going to be right back with Wilma Downey talking about resurrection and the filming of that movie. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And we are back with Wilma Downey and talking about the new film that she and her husband, Mark Burnett, produced, Resurrection. It is this really wonderful film that takes place from the crucifixion to Pentecost, I guess we were talking about that. Yes. Wilma, what was it like making of the film? And I always wonder when I see a film, the actors themselves have been transformed by what they're doing. By what they're presenting. Does that ever happen?
Yes, they do for sure. We shot the film down in Morocco, and so it's a long way for actors to travel and to arrive. In my experience that I've been able to bring, my unique experience to producing is that I have been an actor for many years. So I mm-hmm. really, I always think of myself as an actor's producer. Because I mm-hmm. Kind of understand actors, and I know the vulnerability that one right. feels coming into a new experience. You don't know anybody yet. You don't know your character, really. You've got a script, you've read lines. But, yeah. but I'd always go and meet with the actors as they arrive, and I'd bring them the New Testament, mm-hmm. and I'd leave them the New Testament to read. And I'd always say, look, I don't know, what your particular personal faith is, what you mm-hmm. believe or don't believe. But, all I know as an actor, it's lovely to be able to actually have a reference book right. that you can go right. into and that you can read about your character, yeah. and to understand a little bit more. And I think everybody found that certainly very helpful. Some of the actors were open to allowing us to pray together before certain mm-hmm. scenes, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. Which was something that I had formed on Touched by an Angel with Della. If you remember mm. on Touched by an Angel, we were undercover angels. And, so every week we were like teachers or we were nurses or we were babysitters or we were working in bookshops, whatever it happened to be. Right. And we were helping somebody who was having a life crisis, a spiritual crisis. And the minute the person was able to say, I'm helpless. I can't do this, you know, and metaphorically fall to their knees, was the moment that we could say, well, actually, I'm not a nurse. I'm not a teacher. I'm an angel. I've been sent by the Almighty with a message for you. But before, we called that scene the angel revelation scene.
Wow.
And before the angel revelation scene, every week, Del and I would hold hands and we would pray And our prayer was so simple, but it was less of me and more of you. Wow. Less of me, more of you. So that we learned to just get out of the way, you know, if that makes sense, just to try to be a conduit. Sense. Try to be a conduit for spirit, you know, for God, to be the messenger, to deliver the message. So I've really kind of taken that prayer into all the work I do. And you know, and just hope that the work is a blessing. You know, I mean, it's absolutely fabulous to be able to combine what I do with what I believe. You know, not everybody gets to do that.
That's an amazing part in itself. You know, you were talking about, you know, there is a book out that it just came out by Timothy Keller on the resurrection. And he talks about how, you know, a lot of us really just don't understand the resurrection. You know, it's sort of like the icing on the cake kind of thing, but never the power of it. And that churches don't preach on it. You know, what for you does the resurrection mean for your life?
Gosh, well, you know, I am somebody whose death has touched my life at a very young age. My lovely mom, dropped dead at in her late 40s when I was just 10 years old. And she had been such a light in our lives. She was, you know, she was laughter, she was joy, she was music. And when she died so unexpectedly of a heart attack,
so
there was no illness, nothing to prepare. It was as if the lights had been turned out, you know, for me as a child. And I honestly can say if it hadn't been for my faith and my belief in God and my belief in the resurrection, you know, my belief in Jesus, I don't know that I could have coped, really. I don't know that I could have endured you know, and so, you know, it's given me hope. I believe that I will see her again, that I'll be with her again. I believe that death is not the end. And so that's, I suppose, how the resurrection has played out personally. Then my father died when I was in college.
Oh my goodness.
And so again, and then I recently lost my brother. So I, you know, my whole immediate family has passed on. And then my adopted mom, Della, also, but I believe strongly that I will be with all of them again. And I look forward to resurrection day for all of us, you know, so that's the blessing. And that's the beauty. I think he did this to take our fear away. And, you know, and I, you know, so grateful.
Yeah. You know, the other part of resurrection that I think was something that you don't think about often is that it brings a sort of reversal. You know, it introduces this reversal, life through death, victory through weakness, insiders are out and the marginalized are in. And in that sense, do you think our culture has yet to really understand the resurrection? Like I said, we were talking about, they've kind of secularized Easter. The power of the resurrection is.
But I also think, you know, like you know, as we know, I'm Irish and grew up in Ireland, and we, you know, the Irish are very comfortable talking about death. You know, we still wake people at home, you know, so if somebody passes, the coffin is brought back home and you could be lying in your living room or your kitchen, you know, and then the whole neighborhood, it's like a parade of support and love. The neighborhood comes in, the community comes in, the church come in, and there's tea and sandwiches and conversation and remembering the life. And it's a very kind of natural, you know, part of the experience. It's like the community comes together. And then after 3 days, the body, the remains are taken to the church for the service and then taken to the cemetery for burial. And I mention it only because I probably started going to wakes when I was like knee high, you know?
Yeah.
And so that also took the fear away. It's just a natural part of the process. And I think that in America, it's become so sort of clinical and people are almost afraid that, you know, somebody's died and they say, should I say anything? Yeah. And it's like, absolutely, you should say something. You know, it's a time where people need to feel the support and love of friends and the encouragement of friends. So I think it's like as much that too, you know, that culturally we're just afraid to talk about it here in America. Or it's like it's distasteful or something. You know, yeah. I'm not quite sure what that is. But my husband always jokes we could be at a dinner party or some sort of event. He'll come over and he'll say, if I'm talking to a group of people, he's not with me. He'll come over and say, has she mentioned death yet? But I'm just, you know, it's just such a natural part. It's just a natural part of everything. So, you know, and I wish that could be so here, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, my husband is Greek Orthodox, and they do that. They don't do the wake at home, but they do 2 days of a wake at like a funeral parlor where the person is there, and it's an open casket, and friends and family are invited to come in for a few hours to greet with family. And I have to say, when my husband's mother passed a couple of years ago, it was actually quite comforting to be with her and the family at that time. I mean, it's different. You're right. I mean, if you're used to it, you understand that death is a kind of this next passage
of life. Well, it's the beginning. You know, if you believe that death is the beginning, that your soul is about to go on the greatest journey that it could experience, you know, so the finality is removed. And the finality, I think, is what creates the fear, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, that anybody wants to go anytime soon. You know, you will want to stay here as long as we can and live, you know, long, full lives. And you know, we pray that we would be blessed to just fall asleep at very old age and just make your transition that way. You know, it doesn't always come that way. But
right.
Anyway, I think that this, you know, the opportunity to be reminded of this great miracle, one of the greatest miracles of our Bible, to be able to see to see it play out on screen, I hope will be a blessing for audiences this Easter season. I hope it will take away some of the fear and anxiety, you know, that the past year has played out in each of our lives. And you know, and so many people have lost loved ones this past year. So many people have been sick, and so many people have been afraid of being sick. And, you know, it's been a year unto itself, hasn't it?
Right.
It's like,
absolutely.
Like no other. And we don't know. We don't know yet the ways that it has impacted our, you know, the national psyche. You know, I think it'll be a while before we all really fully can unpack it, because we're not even out of it yet. You know, we have to get fully out of it to then understand really how we've changed, because we all have changed. I think there can be no denying that real change. And I think some of the change is actually good change. I mean, I wish the time hadn't happened, but I think that there has been beauty and blessings in it too. I feel a closeness to my loved ones. I feel new, you know, real perspective on my life, what's important in my life. And I'm grateful for those new understandings. I'm grateful for, you know, the beauty that has come out of the ashes.
That, you know what, if there's any time in the world that we need to understand resurrection here on earth, it's now. It is the power of resurrection. It's the power of the gospel. It is the power that is in this world to bring heaven on earth. The movie is called The Resurrection, and people can access it and find it and watch it on Discovery Plus. Starting March 27th. Roma Downey, I want to thank you so much for being on Lighthouse Faith Podcast. This has just been an honor.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure talking to you, and have a marvelous St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, and you too. And thank you all for listening to Lighthouse Faith Podcast. Have a blessed day.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.